Before we start our prayers to Bhagavatam, I would just like to read the translation to the Udilo Aruna, because today is the auspicious appearance of the Holy Name in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam in our verses. So therefore we're celebrating the appearance of the Holy Name. This is the original translation by Achyutananda Swami, which is very poetic. It's different from the one you have in your songbook. So read this translation. It's a little bit different from what you have. When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice-born Lord Gaurasundara awakened, and taking with him his devotees, he went to the towns and villages. The mridanga sounded, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gaurasundara's golden features shimmered, his foot bells jingling. He would announce to the still-sleeping people, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping, and your days decorating your body. You have attained this rare human form of life, but you do not care for this gift. Not worshipping the darling of Yashoda, you slowly fall through your last moments till death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. So why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This life is temporary and full of miseries. Take shelter of the Holy Name as your only business. The Holy Name has risen like a shining sun to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to bless everyone's heart. Drink the pure nectar of the Holy Name. There is nothing but the Holy Name to be had in all the 14 worlds, and it has satisfied the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur." Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, verse number 12-17. I'll just read the verse. Suttajanasi patram te bhagavan satvatam pati devakyam vasudevasya jato yasya chikirshaya. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami, for you know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as a son of Vasudeva. Mukkam karoti vachalam bhangam langhate girim yat kipam dhamam vande shi gurum tinatarinam. Om Agyana Tivrandasya Gananjana Sharakaya Chakshumiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Samini Chinamine. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatavine. We've heard how the sages of the Naimisharanya perform their morning duties, worship Sutta, and they have asked questions that reflect their compassion for the fallen condition of the souls in Kali Yuga today, who have short lives, not more than 70 or even 60, 50 years. The sages could live for 1,000 years, so they were thinking about us. Compared to them, we have such a short life. And we're slow to understand spiritual philosophy. We have no memory, easily disturbed, if not misguided. So the sages are asking Sutta to tell them, ekantata, what is the highest welfare for humanity and the essence of the scriptures? Because the people have no time to go through all the scriptures, so many scriptures, it's not possible. So I'd like to look at this chart here, this picture. This is showing our progress through the first chapter. The first three petals up there were the Mangalacharan, and the four petals that are next, verses 4-8, are showing how the sages are worshiping Sutta. And then we started yesterday on the third section, which is verses 9-13, where the sages ask questions. They begin to ask questions, showing their concern for the fallen condition of souls of this age. There you can see Kali catching some conditioned souls in his hand very happily. And in the next section, we'll be starting this section today. We'll have some more questions of the sages. We'll have the appearance of the Holy Name, and we'll have also the glories of the pure devotees Then the last section, we'll finish this chapter on Monday, and that will show the glories of the spiritual master. And also these sages will ask their last question. So today we'll hear two more questions, one from this section and one from two more questions of the sages. So verse 12, in the purport, in the middle, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhadram te, all blessings to you. Srila Prabhupada says, this indicates anxiety of the sages to hear about Krishna. This is actually the third question of the sages, according to Bhurijan Prabhu and according to the Acharyas. This is the third question, although it is not phrased as a question. Because they're saying to Sutta, you know why Krishna came. Means, please tell us why Krishna came. So this is, you know why Krishna came. So, and Bhadram te, all blessings to you, we want to know. So according to the Acharyas and Bhurijan Prabhu, this is the third question of the sages. We had two already. That's in verse 9 and verse 11. These are two. What is the essence of scriptures and what is the highest welfare for the people in general? These are the first two questions. The third one is verse 12. So they wanted to hear why Krishna comes. And they're giving a hint to us in the Sanskrit. There's two words in the Sanskrit. Can anyone pick up? There's a hint here. Why Krishna comes. There's a hint in the Sanskrit. And it's, yes, Sankirtan. Satvatam pati. He's a protector of his devotees. Krishna comes to protect his devotees. We hear this. Paritanaya sadunam vinashaya chadushkit. And here again we hear the word Vasudeva. We'll be hearing this all through the first and the second chapters. Again we'll hear Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva para makha, Vasudeva. So here again it refers to Krishna. As indicated in the first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport how Krishna is Bhagavan, full of six opulences. And we won't go into that because we'll hear so much more about Krishna in the third chapter of Canto. In fact, we'll hear the main verse of the Bhagavatam, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, how he is the original Bhagavan. So this verse, this question is continued in the 13th verse, O Sutta Goswami, I'll read the Sanskrit because actually it's important. Tanna shushu shamananam arhasyanganuvarnitum yasyavataro bhutanam kshemaya chapavaya cha. O Sutta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. So Prabhupada in the purport, he again stresses the conditions for proper hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. First condition, the audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. Speaker must be in the line of the succession from the recognized acharya, and the transcendental message of the absolute is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. Under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Therefore, one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. The art of submissive hearing. Bhurijan talks about submissive hearing in his book, Art of Teaching, How to Be a Submissive Hearer. So this last sentence seems to imply to me that not only must the speaker be in disciplic succession, the hearer seems to also have to be in the disciplic succession, according to this purport. Very interesting concept. So this is what Prabhupada is saying here in Bhagavatam. We can discuss this more after the lecture if you want. So of course in the case of Sutta and the sages, they were all bona fide. And here in this verse, the sages are again expressing how they are so eager to hear. Shushu shamananam. We heard this word before in a previous... Which? That's coming up. What did we hear before? Yes. Text 2. Shushushubis takshanat. Yes. And we're going to hear in the second chapter the verse that he quoted. Shushusho shadaranasya. It's constantly stressed. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Be eager to hear Bhagavatam. So we should be like this. We should be so eager to hear that just like if somebody were to come to you and trying to strangle you, and you would be very eager to get a breath of air. So in the same way, we should be so eager to hear. If one day goes by, we don't hear Bhagavatam, we don't hear about Krishna, we feel like something's wrong. I'm missing something in my life. So this is how the sages are feeling. This is called loyam. Sri Rupa Goswami says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. That Prabhupada, he quotes this verse in the lecture. He says, if you can get Krishna consciousness, please purchase at any cost. And what is the cost to purchase Krishna consciousness? Yes. Loyam. Yes, loyam. According to Sri Rupa Goswami. Loyam, this is the price. So you may say, yes, I have loyam. I have the price. I'll pay. But then the verse says, no. You won't get this in millions of births of pious activities. Of course, if we have a Gyata Sukriti, it may help, as we were discussing previously. So this eager hearing, this is a result of our chanting. It's a result of our sadhana. It's a result of our being an association of devotees. And we'll see that, especially in the second chapter, Shushu Shosharanasya, by serving the devotees, we get the taste. We get the eagerness to hear. So verse 14, the appearance of the holy name in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Appana sangsitinkaram yanama vivashokinan tattasatya vimucheta yad vibeti swayam hayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear. Sangsriti Koram, horrible world, horrible material existence. We can understand very well how this world is such a horrible. We think of our lives before Krishna consciousness, and we see the lives of the people who have no Krishna consciousness, very tragic lives they lead. Anyway, there's no need to elaborate on this. We see here in Vrindavan Temple, when the politicians in UP, actually it's very, very dangerous to be a politician in UP. And that's why on voting day, election day, they ban all guns. Nobody can have guns on election day because it's very likely that the candidates will be shot. And when you do get elected, then they come to the temple with these guards with machine guns and all to come to see politics. So we can always tell when a big politician comes to the temple because he's surrounded by gunmen. They're so afraid, fear for their lives. And so this is a situation of Kali Yuga. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the hope for the people of this age. Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has appeared in the form of the holy name. Nama hoite hoi sarva jagat nistar. It will purify the whole universe. Nama binu kali kali nahi aradharma. There is no other religion in this age of Kali in chanting the holy name. And this is the important line that I want to stress here. Sarva manta saranam e shastra marma. The holy name is the essence of all mantras. Sarva manta saranam. E shastra marma, it is the purport of all scripture. So we heard in the third verse of Bhagavatam how Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit. It's the essence, the cream of the Vedas. So what is the essence of Bhagavatam? The holy name. Because this is what is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarva mantra saranam e shastra marma. Because Srila Prabhupada explained one time that all of these verses in Bhagavatam, they're mantras. And the holy name is the essence of all mantras. And it is the purport of Bhagavatam also, the purport of all scriptures. So this is an explanation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you think of any other reason why we can say is that the holy name is the essence of all scriptures? Why is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra the essence of Vishakpriya? It is Krishna, non-different. Pinata Nama Namino. Yes, they are both sound incarnation. Holy Name and Bhagavatam are both sound incarnation of Krishna. Okay, well, what's another Sankirtana? Radha Krishna. Okay, the most confidential, sublime understanding, absolute truth, Radha Krishna. Madhavendra Puri. Translation? Yes. Okay. Okay. Anyway, Lord Brahma, after studying the Vedas three times, said that this 16-syllable mantra is the best, the essence. Okay. Shivindavan Prabhu. Param Satyam Timahi. To meditate. Yes. Right. Yes. Kalera Dosha Niheraj. Okay. The end of the Bhagavatam. That the chanting of the holy name is the essence. It will give mukti. Maharaj, would you like to give us some slokas on the glorification of the holy name for about 2 minutes? Thank you, Maharaj. So we will see, if we study Bhagavatam, the glorification of the holy name. Padyavali, verse number 19, from Rupa Goswami. Glorification of the holy name is found all throughout Bhagavatam. But here we see right in the beginning, and then in the middle, you see the story of Ajamila, you see this, the Narayana Kavacha, which glorifies the holy name. And so all over the place. The answer to Parikshit's question, glorification of the holy name, beginning of the second canto, and the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last verse. I'll read it for you. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukkha shamanam to nama harim param. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material sufferings. Why are the sages glorifying the holy name in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because, actually, they're giving us a hint as to the answer of their first question, the first two questions. So, what is the essence of all scriptures? What is the absolute good for all humanity? Chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. They're giving us a hint. Just like they said, Sattvatampati. Why does Krishna appear? He's Sattvatampati. Why does he come here? So we're getting little hints here as to the answer. Fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Yamaraj. Yamaraj. Actually, Yamaraj goes on taking his toll out of fear of me, Kapiladev says. Yamaraj, he's afraid of Krishna. He tells his Yamadutas, don't go near those devotees. So you go take those people who never chant the holy name of Krishna. When Yamaraj appeared on this earth as Vidura, he was a cordial friend to the devotees, to the Pandavas. He was always thinking how to protect them. So if we become a devotee, then we'll be friends with Yamaraj. And we'll see how later on, in the 16th chapter, the sages, Shonaka is saying that, you know, we've invited Yamaraj here for our katha, for our pravachan, because he likes Krishna Kirtan and he likes to hear Bhagavatam. So we're making sure that we're all safe here as long as we're listening to Bhagavatam. Yamaraj is here, so you don't have to worry about dying. And so sages invited him. Because he likes, he's a devotee. And where he is, he never gets to hear Krishna. He's got a very hard management position. Just like sometimes we see our managers, they can't come. And so we miss them. Yes. Yes, we invite great... Yes. Yes, okay. He made the point that sometimes ISKCON invites the big policemen. They're like Yamaraj, actually, for the people. So we also invite them to the temple. Yes, Yamaraj. I'll talk about that, actually, a little bit later today. So we'll go on to the next verse. So we want to chant the holy name with great taste, with great attraction. And how to do this is explained in the next verse, by serving the great devotees. Verse 15. Kepara sangshaya sutta munaya prashamana satya punantipaspishta swatunyapodusevaya. O sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganga can sanctify only after prolonged use. So in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, sincere disciple of the pure devotee considers the spiritual master equal to the Lord, but always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. So this is also the mood, the attitude of the hearers of Bhagavatam. when Parikshit heard that he was cursed to die in 7 days, he immediately gave up his kingdom. He went to the bank of the Ganga simply to hear Bhagavatam, fasting and hearing Bhagavatam. And he said, "O Brahmanas, you please accept me as a completely surrendered soul. Let Mother Ganga also accept me in this way. And I don't care if the snake bird bites me. I just want to hear the glories of Vishnu and your association." And then when Shukadev came, he said to Shukadev, "O Brahmana, by your mercy, you have purified me. You have made me a place of pilgrimage." He said, "Now I am qualified to serve the Vaishnavas." So Parikshit Maharaj, he was a Mahabhagavat. He was an emperor of the world. And he thought himself unfit to be servant of the Vaishnavas. So what a position, what a mentality. We can't imagine that somebody who has so much power, so much influence, and he feels that only by your association can I become a servant of the servant. He didn't even say, I can become a devotee of Krishna. Maharaj Prataparudra, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't see him because he was a king. And then he gave up his dress, his kingly dress. He put on the humble dress of a Vaishnava. He went, he massaged Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and sang verses from Bhagavatam. And then Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Who are you?" So what did he say? "I am the great Maharaj. I am the servant of your servant." So this is the understanding that we get from this verse. How powerful it is to serve the devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was offered a benediction by Nrisimhadev, he didn't want it. He said, "I've seen my father. He had everything. And you took it away in a second. What is the use of these things? Why are you asking me to give me these things?" He said, "You just let me get the chance to be the servant of your pure devotee, Narada Muni." So Prabhupada in the purport, now this verse is 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 24. Prabhupada says, "By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one should gain thorough experience that all material existence is perishable at every moment and simply desire to take shelter of the pure devotees and serve the pure devotees." So in the purport here, in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada says, "Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganga." How many people here have bathed in the Ganga? It's very purifying. Jamuna also. You have a bath in Jamuna, you feel purified, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually, when you have bath. So it's quite an experience to bathe in the Ganga. But Prabhupada says, after prolonged use of Ganga water, you can get spiritual benefit. But one can be sanctified at once by the mercy, pure devotee of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, any person, regardless of birth, shudra, woman, merchant, can take shelter at lotus feet of the Lord. By so doing, can return to Godhead. Then Prabhupada explains what it means to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Means, take shelter of the pure devotees. Because we always hear all the time, lotus feet of the Lord, lotus feet, got to meditate, got to take shelter. What does it mean? It means you take shelter of the devotees, because they're always at the lotus feet of the Lord. So if you find the lotus feet of the Lord, then you know what the devotees are going to be there like bees after honey. So we always hear about this, now we can understand. Prabhupada's explaining to us. In the 9th canto, now I'll give you if I have it. No, I don't have it. Yes, I do. 9th canto, 9th chapter, verses 5 and 6. Bhagirath Maharaj, he has done great austerities to bring Gangama down to earth. And she becomes pleased with him. And the first thing she says is, "I don't want to come. If I come to earth, then all these sinful people are going to have bath in my water. They're going to leave their sinful reactions, and I'll become impure, and I'll be full of sinful reactions, and I won't be able to get rid of them." So then what did Maharaj Bhagirath say? He said, no, don't worry. When the pure devotees take bath in your water, then they'll take away all the sinful reactions. So the pure devotee has that power. He can purify even the holy place. So now one significant thing in this purport, there is the name of Srila Prabhupada. In the purport. Prabhupada says, the pure devotees whose only business is serving are honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicates such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. There again, you have the lotus feet. So in the beginning of this Krishna consciousness movement, they were calling Prabhupada Swamiji. Swamiji, Swamiji. And then one day, Prabhupada said to his secretary, Govindadasi, Swamiji is a third class address. She said, really? Then what should we call you? And then Srila Prabhupada said, a spiritual master usually is addressed by names like Gurudev, Vishnupad, or Prabhupada. So then Govindadasi said, may we call you Prabhupada? And so he said, yes. And that's how it all started, that we started calling him Prabhupada. And here he mentions it in this purport also. But we didn't catch it. And it took a while for the devotees to realize what we were supposed to be doing. He had to teach us everything. So then verse 16, we will hear more about eagerness of hearing the glories of the Lord. Kova bhagavatastasya punyashloketi karmana shutikamana shinu yad yashakalimalapaham. Translation, who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? So who are those people? We heard about them the other day. Somebody brought it up. Who will not hear? Yes? Pashugna. Killers of the animals. Yes, killers of the animals. Yes. Those who don't have pious credits. Agata Sukriti. Okay? In the purport, near the beginning, I think it's about the third sentence, Prabhupada says, the leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to propagation of the glories of the Lord. When we first came to India in 1972-73, then we had a small temple in Juhu Bombay. And it was just a tent, actually. And there were no loudspeakers like you see here in Vrindavan. And we used to have Mangal Arti under the stars. And it was very quiet. We had nice soft kirtan. But still, there were complaints. It is a nuisance. Kirtan is a nuisance. And Prabhupada was so up, and they complained. And one of the leaders, the political leaders in Bombay, came to Prabhupada and said, your kirtan is a nuisance. And so Prabhupada said, just see. Just see the nature of the leaders today. This is the solution for the problems of today's societies, and they're saying it's a nuisance. When Srila Prabhupada started in New York, 1966, same problem. They would say, this kirtan is a problem. This is a nuisance. It's waking us up too early in the morning. And Prabhupada, they were right in the middle of the congested section of New York. Trucks, cars, just garbage trucks with horrible sounds. Prabhupada said, this sound they can tolerate, but kirtan is intolerable. It's very intolerable. And so this is Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said, in other words, the foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. In the name of secular state, such leaders are enacting various plans every year. But by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. They have no eyes to see their attempts at peace and friendship are failing. But here is the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify him for his virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Chicago in 1975, the chief of police came to visit Srila Prabhupada. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, what can we do about crime? So Prabhupada said, yes, you give us facility. We will make all the prisoners chant Hare Krishna. We will make all the people chant, and they will become purified. And then there will be no more crime. And one time he met the mayor. The mayor means the head of the city of Evanston, Illinois. We had a temple there, so the devotees arranged for Prabhupada to meet the mayor. And at that time, we didn't have a proper building for our temple. So Prabhupada was talking to the mayor of Evanston. And at that time, they had just got a new building, the city hall. That's where the government was meeting, the government of the city. So Prabhupada said, why don't you give us your building, your city hall, and we'll use it very nicely. And we'll stop all the crime. And the mayor said, but we just got it. So he was very polite, but he refused to give the city hall to Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, these are how the devotees are, just like the Yadus when Krishna was here. They went to the heavenly planets and they took Indra's assembly house and brought it down. They gave it to Krishna. And so they want Krishna to have the best of things. So Prabhupada was thinking big. He was thinking very big. So here is the hint to get over the hurdle. Open the door to glorifying Krishna. Actually, I have one example here in a Back to Godhead magazine of how we can stop crime by this Krishna conscious movement. This is in the letters section of the latest BTG. This is from a prisoner in America. He says, as a prisoner of inmate of the Wisconsin correctional system, I have been very fortunate to become involved with the ISKCON prison ministry. Through the association of devotees, my old world and understanding have been shaken and turned upside down, leading me into the light of truth and bhakti. I humbly thank them for Srila Prabhupada's books and issues of BTG, which have been beneficial to me beyond their knowing. He says, I have a longing for India, a desire to seek out the holy places, but for now I am able to do that right where I am through the articles I read in BTG. I consider it a blessing to have come in contact with ISKCON and BTG magazine. You both have changed my life forever. So this is how we can get peace in the world, that we, even prisoners, can appreciate this knowledge of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, BTG. So this is proof of what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that actually we can change the hearts of the people, because everyone's a devotee of Krishna, but they're just, every single person, we're all Krishna's children. We just have to remind them, and then they'll remember. So the last verse for today is the second question of the sages. Tasya karmani dharani parikitani surbi bruhina sharadhananam lilaya datata kalaha. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So the fourth question, they're begging Sutta to speak about the incarnations of Krishna. According to Brijan Prabhu and the Acharyas, which he has studied, this question refers to the Purusha incarnations. And there are but of the many kinds of incarnations, there are six prominent: Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, which are described in the 3rd to 9th canto, Yuga avatars, and Shaktivesh avatars. So a week from Monday, we'll be discussing the avatars, and I'll give you a very beautiful printout showing, it's a chart of all the incarnations and how they expand from Krishna and devotees in Mayapur. So I'll get a copy of that to you, so then you can have a ready reference of all the incarnations and who they are, where they belong. So here, Purusha avatars, the answer to this question will be given in the end of chapter 2, verses 30 to 33. I'll give you a handout on Monday that will summarize all the six questions of the sages and where to find the answers. So in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy. This is about 10 lines down. It's about the cinema. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. So actually, if you study this sentence very carefully, you can find many analogies. First of all, the word perverted reflection, we often think. This is one of the analogies comparing the material world to perverted reflection, a shadow of reality. A cinema, a movie house. Prabhupada says, They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by such false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyasa and Narada, know the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. So I like this analogy very much of the movie, the cinema. You think, when you go to a film, or you go to see a movie, you go in there, and then you start identifying with the actors. You forget your identity. You get into their story. Their story becomes your story. They cry, you cry. They laugh, you laugh. They get in trouble, you feel bad. So this is how it is. But when the whole show is over, and we leave the theater, we remember who we are. We assume our responsibilities. So similarly, this material world is like a stage. And the main actor, we're the star of the show. Every morning we wake up as the star of the show, center. And we have our own home video. We're making our own home videos here in the cinema of the material world. And we have forgotten our real identity. We're playing the roles that are assigned to us. We could be a hog or a dog or a minister, a rich man, a poor man. We've got these roles. And who is the director of this drama? Srila Prabhupada says, yes? Somebody else. No? Actually, you'll be very surprised to hear the answer. Super soul. Prabhupada said he's such an expert director, he makes you forget who you are so you can play your role perfectly. Because if we remember we're the servant, then how can we be the enjoyer? So, sarvasya chahang hidi sannivishto. Mata smiti gyanam apohanam cha. He gives knowledge, he gives remembrance. He's the director of our drama. Yes, it's a lecture in Prabhupada. I can look it up for you if you like. Yeah, he's lecturing on the verse, that verse, 15:15. I believe it's a Bhagavad Gita class, but it could be another class. But I didn't bring it today, but I have it in my notes. I'll bring it to you on Monday. Now Prabhupada says, the super soul is the director of the drama. He's making us forget who we are. So this is very interesting idea, indeed. Why should he make us forget? Anyway, so in a purport in the Chatushloki, Srila Prabhupada calls the material nature a dazzling reflection where even dead matter is caused to move by cooperation of living energy of the Lord. And the material world appears like a dramatic performance to the ignorant eyes. Prabhupada says, the ignorant person may even be a scientist or physiologist in the drama of Prakriti, while the sane person knows Prakriti as the illusory energy of the Lord. So the sane person knows it's a drama. Problem is, we're so absorbed in our world of shadows that our parts in the drama, we forget the real world exists and that what is our purpose in the real world. So the Lord has sent us guides to get us out of this perverted shadow, this drama, this cinema. Get us out. Just like I haven't been for a very long time. Before I was a devotee, I used to go to films, and these people, they come down the aisle in America with torches to show you all the places. They also help you get out. So we also have our guides to help us get out of this cinema house, this dark, dark cinema house. And Prabhupada says, it's Vyasadeva, the intelligent persons, they will follow the guides out of this cinema. So therefore, Vyasadeva has given us this torch light, this Bhagavatam, to get us out of this world of shadows. So let us take advantage and relish this wonderful gift he has given us. Follow Vyasadeva and Shukadeva and Srila Prabhupada out of this material world. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments? Brihad Madanga Prabhu. You heard that lecture? Super Soul's director. Yeah. Okay, great. Let's hear the clarification. Otherwise, we might be misled. Right. Okay? Right, right. Yeah, chapter 5, I think. Yeah. Not that the Super Soul doesn't assume sinful or pious activities. Right. Okay. Ignorance, okay? Right. Right. Okay, the question is, how is a living entity put into ignorance to become forgetful? Nature of love is not one of force. Okay, misuse of independence. Right. Right, you can't necessarily force someone to act. Okay, that's a very good point. We can only carry this analogy so far. Right. Right, no question of force. Okay. Right. Sanction, very good, very good. Upadastha anumanta means giving permission, giving sanction. Referee, like a referee. Okay? Okay? Referee. Right, right, right. It's not like the... Okay. So thank you so much for that clarification. We didn't mean to make you think that Super Soul is putting us in that role and forcing us to act as a dog and a hog. Yeah, we have to clarify that. Thank you for that. Yes, that's a very good point. Thank you. Adipurushpuru. Reason for glorification of devotees. Well, I have my answer for that, but I'd like to ask the devotees to shed some light on that. Why? Okay, the question is that we have said why the holy name is here, because it's the essence of the scriptures. So the question is, well, why are they glorifying the devotees? Right in the beginning here. Oh, we have so many. Anishinanda Prabhu. By the mercy of the devotees, you'll get the holy name. That was my answer. Maharaj, do you have something further to add to that? Okay, the mercy of the Lord comes before the mercy of the devotees. Is that what you're saying? No. Devotees. Okay, so the devotees' mercy precedes the Lord's mercy. Okay, that's a very good point. Yes, Sankh Temple. Glorification. Which one? Yeah, it could be. But there could, I mean, you can see on many levels. And it may be also that level. Yes. Which is higher? The question is, which is higher? A rhetorical question. Which is higher, the holy name or the pure devotees? Is it equal, independent, interdependent? Which is higher? He has posed Maharaj. Yes. Also, I may... And actually, the conversation between Shiva and Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The highest worship is worship of Vishnu. But higher than the worship of Vishnu is worship than his. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam. Okay. So the best worship is worship. Even we'll read on in Bhagavatam. Tadiya means in relationship to Krishna. In relationship, tadiya. Yes, that's true. If you offend a devotee, you offend the holy name. There are many offenses which mean about the devotees to the holy name. The only way you can get free from those offenses is to go, and they'll help you. So if you offend a devotee, then it's a very good point, because it's in relationship to the holy name. You offend the devotees, and there's no hope. It's very difficult. Adipurusha. In Krishna's opinion, the devotee is higher. And in the devotee's opinion, Krishna is higher. So you decide. You decide whose opinion you want to take. Krishna or the devotees? Yes. Yeah, so the devotee, Krishna is everything. I'm glorifying Krishna. And Krishna, my devotee is everything. I'm glorifying my devotee. Like Arjuna. Like Śrīla Prabhupāda, who's glorified, yes. Okay, we're quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati now. Do you know more about this? Harinam Chintamani. Who is saying? Haridas Thakur. To Lord Chaitanya. The what? The only two things that count are the jiva and the holy name in this universe. Okay? There you have a summary of the discussion. Shivindam Prabhu. Even if you have prema, you need association of devotee. You look at Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is there some devotee just goes off by himself and doesn't associate with the other devotees? They all relish association of devotees. Yeah. Madan Gopal Prabhu. Madhurya Kandamani.
The question is what? What is?
Bhakti comes through the medium of the pure devotee or Madhyamadikari. That is what you're saying. You're quoting Madhurya Kadambini. Okay? Madhyamadikari is the prerequisite for the holy name. Because, I mean, if all of us think from our experience, where did we first hear the holy name? Of course, some of you may have been born in a Vaishnava family and have very great fortune. But, yes? Right. Mahabharat. So we want to find Krishna, we have to go to the devotee. Mantra must be received in the bona fide sampradaya. Right. Devotee has to give you the mantra. So he's making this point that without the devotee, you won't get the mantra. Madhavendrapuri Prabhu. You may. Where is that person? Yes. For the sake of argument. Okay. Bihat Madanga Prabhu. Okay. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada left. Wow. Great fortune. Okay, he wanted to forget the holy name. Okay? Spiritual master is one with the holy name and different. Okay, they cannot be separated. Okay. They're one. Okay, anybody else have anything on this? We'll go to the next question. Okay, last comment. Which Maharaj? Niranjan. Boston, okay.
Why are you doing this?
Okay, let's have another question, Darshan. Independent. Special cases. Okay, Maharaj, answer the question. Okay, we have Madanga Prabhu. Bhakti is dependent on bhakti. Shirupa Goswami says, who is the carrier and abode of bhakti? So who is chanting the holy name in the red light district? That is the question. Who is carrying the holy name? Okay, it has to be brought through a carrier or a boat. And the carrier is the pure devotee. Okay, pure devotee is the carrier of the holy name. So without the pure devotee, you won't get the holy name. Okay, we have a little bit of time. Divyambar? Okay, can we go on to the next question here? And then we'll take you. You have a question also. So what's the question? Oh, I see. I think I understand what you're saying. So just like the devotee is the carrier of the holy name, does that mean he's also carrying Vasudev? He's in that of Shuddha Sattva, that he's carrying Vasudev, or he's the abode of Vasudev. He's the Dham. His heart is the Dham. Okay, yes, it's the same. Yes, and you can get the holy name. Yes. I'll take Divyambar next. Okay, what was your question? What's that? Text 17. Last paragraph. Okay, here's a very technical question. Okay. Right, guna avatars. Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, and Vyas, material qualitative incarnation. Manu hands down the codes of Dharma. Prithu is a perfect Kshatriya. Vyas compiled the Vedas. So all these functions pertain to the material world. There's no need of these functions in the spiritual world, and that's why they're called his material qualitative incarnation. She was a translator with the BBT, and this question, who answered this question? Suhotra Maharaj. This is Maharaj's answer to the question. Well, Brahma and Ruja, everybody knows. It's the other ones we had the question. It means why Manu is qualitative? Why Vyas? Yeah, they're guna. No, because we always call them guna avatars. They're qualitative incarnations of the gunas. So the answer is that Manu is a qualitative incarnation. Manu, Prithu. Manu hands down the laws of Dharma. Prithu is a perfect Kshatriya, and Vyasadeva compiles the Vedas. And all these functions happen only in the material. And that's why they're called material incarnations. They don't happen in the spiritual world. That there's Manu doesn't give the laws of Dharma in the spiritual world. Prithu is not the perfect. Well, it's what he's. According to Suhotra Maharaj, three types of life. In general sense. Animal, human, spiritual. Within the human life is Varnashram Dharma. Okay, you have to go. In order to get from animal to spiritual, you have to go through the boat of the human form of life. Okay, actually, you know, I brought this magazine here.
and it's got a wonderful chart in it, and it's just a very short summary. I'm not going to read you the whole article, but actually this devotee has done research, and she's found three kinds of varnasham: daiva varnasham, materialistic varnasham. So I'll read you, there's like a very short couple of sentences so then you can get the idea of exactly what. Yesterday we had that question. So I'm going to study this, and I'll give you a handout when we get to this, because then it's very relevant where Parikshit is. So I'll give you this information on Varnashram. I'll study it, I'll chart and everything. But just for now, I'll read you the sentences describing the three types of Varnashram. The original Varnashram is a division of society into four Varnas and four Ashrams that cooperate to satisfy the Supreme Lord. One's varna is determined by one's character, qualities, training, and work. Focus is spiritual advancement and spiritual satisfaction for each member of society. This kind of varnashram is a spiritual institution, just as a temple or a church becomes spiritual when used to glorify the Supreme Lord. The original varnashram is sometimes referred to as daiva or divine varnashram. Now the second one. Materialistic varnashram is the formal division of society into four varnas and four ashrams, primarily to control society and increase the material well-being of certain groups. Typically, parentage and adherence to certain rituals determine varna rather than character and training. The hereditary caste system, a perversion of the original varnashram, is in the category of materialistic varnashram. Three. Spontaneous varnashram is a default society that results because by nature people tend to divide into classes, the four varnas. Spontaneous varnashram is devoid of a connection with the Supreme Lord and does nothing to promote spiritual progress. So it's a very, very good article, and I'll copy this chart and I'll give it as... Okay, great. So the comment... Okay, so he's adding the comment that these particular incarnations, which are called material qualitative incarnations, are here to perform the function of giving a transition for the human being from, or the living entity, from animal to spiritual, right? That's what you're saying. They're giving, it's a transitional function. Yes, to give them to the human form of life, as we were discussing the other day, to dvi padapashu, two-legged animals. So to make these people human beings. I'd like to stop here. If you have any questions, keep them, and we'll go over them tomorrow. Somebody did have questions yesterday. I mean, Monday. We'll go over them Monday. Because yesterday we were talking about all the negative problems of Kali Yuga. So some devotees wanted to hear about the positive things that have happened since ISKCON has appeared 30 years ago. So we'll discuss that Monday. Nishinanda Prabhu. That's what we're doing right now. Right now we're going to inform you about Monday. We're going to have a special class for those of you who would like to learn how to write essays. It's going to be a workshop. You bring your pen, you bring your paper, and you're going to be writing essays, paragraphs, and you're going to be learning a lot about writing.